Chapter 7. Shortly after Bell returned to the office the next morning, a runner from the telegraph office brought him a telegram from Van Dorn. "My chief agent in Los Angeles reports that he can find no trace of a Rose Manteca. There is no family by that name owning a ranch within 200 miles of the city. It looks to me as if the lady has pulled the wool over your eyes. Was she pretty? Van Dorn." Bell smiled to himself. He stuffed the telegram in his pocket, walked to Alexander's office, and knocked on the door. "Come in," Alexander said softly, as if talking to somebody in the same room. Barely hearing the words, Bell stepped inside. "You are here to report, I assume," said Denver's head agent without prelude. Bell nodded. "I wanted to bring you up to date on our activities." "I'm listening," Alexander said without looking up from the papers on his desk or offering Bell a chair. "I've sent Curtis and Irvine out into the field to question the law enforcement officers and any witness to the robberies and killings," Bell lied. "It's not likely they will dig up anything the local law officials haven't already provided us." "I intend to leave myself on the next train to Los Angeles." Alexander looked up, a suspicious expression in his eyes. "Los Angeles? Why would you go there?" "I'm not," Bell answered. "I'm getting off in Las Vegas and taking the spur line to Rhyolite, where I plan to talk to witnesses, if any, on my own." "A wise plan." Alexander almost looked relieved. "I thought for a moment that you were going to Los Angeles because of Miss Manteca." Bell feigned surprise. "You know her?" "She sat at my table with my wife and me at the country club party and dance. We've met on other occasions. She said you two had met at the orphan's ball, and she seemed very interested in your work and background. She was especially fascinated by the bank robber murderer." "I'll bet she was interested in my work," Bell thought. But he said, "I didn't know I made an impression on her. She did a pretty good job of brushing me off." "My wife thought Miss Manteca was smitten with you." "Hardly. All I learned about her was that she came from a wealthy family in Los Angeles."
"That's true,"
Alexander replied out of ignorance. "Her father owns a huge spread outside the city." It was obvious to Bell that Alexander had neither investigated Rose nor bothered to be suspicious of her questions about him and the Butcher Bandit case. "When do you expect to return?" asked Alexander. "I should wind up the Rhyolite investigation and be back within 5 days."
"And Curtis and Irvine?"
10 days to 2 weeks. Alexander refocused his attention on the papers atop his desk. "Good luck," he said briefly, dismissing Bell. Returning to the conference room, Bell relaxed in a swivel chair and propped his feet on the long table. He sipped coffee from a cup Mrs. Murphy had brought earlier. Then he leaned back and stared at the ceiling, as if seeing something on the floor above. So his suspicions about Rose Manteca were right on the money. She was not only a fraud, but perhaps somehow connected to the Butcher Bandit, and sent to learn what she could of the Van Dorn Detective Agency's investigation. Bell's quarry could never be overestimated. He was no ordinary bandit. Hiring the services of a lovely spy was the work of a man who carefully thought out his operation. Rose, or whatever her true identity was good. She had no problem burrowing into the confidence of the Denver office director. The groundwork had been carefully laid. It was clearly the work of a professional. Employing a counterfeit meant the bandit had first-rate resources and a network of tentacles that could delve into government and the business community. When Bell returned to the Brown Palace, he went to the desk and asked for Rose Manteca's room number. The clerk looked very official when he said, "I'm sorry, sir. We can't give out our guests' room numbers. Then a smug look came across his face. But I can tell you that Miss Manteca checked out at noon. Did she say where she was going? No, but her luggage was taken to the Union Station and placed on the 1 o'clock train for Phoenix and Los Angeles. This was not what Bell had expected. He cursed himself for letting her slip through his fingers. Who really was Rose Manteca? Why would she take the train for Los Angeles when there was no record of her living there? Then another thought began to tug on Bell's mind. Where would his nemesis strike next? He couldn't even begin to guess, and he found it frustrating. He had always felt as if he was in control of his earlier cases. This one was different. Too different.